Good morning, Asbury. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Hey, we're going to have some fun in here this morning, worshiping and praising God. You know, if your news feeds read anything similar to mine, and I'm not even like a social media guy. I don't do Facebook and Twitter. I just read the news. There's a lot of darkness, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in this world, and I'm hoping you guys can, this morning with us, find this a time of peace and quiet to listen, to reflect to God. And so we hope you'll stand with us this morning. We're going to have a little fun this morning while we're at it. Scott, count us off.
You please have a seat. What a great day to be gathered here as we worship God together. I'm so thrilled that you've chosen to be here this morning. A special welcome to our visitors that are here with us, and we hope that you feel warm and welcomed here. And we do invite everyone to fill out your names in the registration pad so we can get a record of everyone's attendance with us this morning. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a delight to get to glorify God with you today. A few announcements that we want to share with you. If you'll look inside your bulletin, there is an insert there, and on that insert, it lists the classes that are going to be coming up that you are welcome to take. There'll be the class that I'm going to teach on the Gospel of Luke, and that will begin Tuesday the 7th at 6 o'clock. We also have Mr. Doug Walker teaching on the life of Abraham, the same time and date on the 7th at 6. And then a couple weeks from now, February 21st, Reverend Mary will begin her class, Christ Cries from the Cross. Now try and pronounce that title 10 times. We want to celebrate all the ways in which we can enrich our learning, and we want to invite everyone to come to those studies as they can. We do want to let you know that ACCDC registration opens to the public on February 1st. You may not know this, but members of Asbury get to apply first. And so if you haven't, you want to do that before February 1st, because when the public comes, bam! And let me tell you, our ACCDC program is phenomenal. And we serve a variety of families with diverse backgrounds, and it's a great way for us to interact and build relationships with them. We do want to let you know that during the month of February, we're beginning a hygiene drive where we're collecting supplies. And we'll have a box here in the WAC at the back, and we'll have a box outside the sanctuary. And we'll be collecting deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo, soap, comb, hairbrush, and a washcloth. Those can be toiletry size, like airplane size, or we can have regular size. We want you to bring those during the month of February as we seek to fill our Good Samaritan closet with those items. And finally, coming up on February 12th, we'll have Scout Sunday, so be here as we interact and build relationships with them. As of now, why don't we stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
Joy of the Lord. We sing it, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
So I know this song is special to several of us on the stage, and I know for some of you guys joining us this morning, members and guests, we'll sing this with us as well.
I'm so glad. Okay, so I know that I'm funny. So I bought a new sponge. Okay, has anybody seen any of this? You know what these are called? Very good. Good job, Lily. Actually, this is called a scrub daddy. And you know why I got it? Was because it was on Shark Tank. There you go. That's the only reason why I bought it. No, I'm just kidding. I really bought more of that. But the reason why I got it, and you know what's kind of cool about sponges is that it gets wet and you clean it, clean something, and then you squeeze it, and what comes out of it? Water. What kind of water?
Soap water.
Soap water, but it's also maybe dirty water. Because whatever you touch with it is dirty. That is correct. And so after a while, you get it cleaned out, and what comes out of it? Not dirty water, maybe clean water. That's right. After you used it and you've washed it out a couple of times with soap and everything like that. And so it made me think about sometimes when we get filled with dirty things. What are some dirty things that we get filled with?
I forgot.
You forgot. Okay. What about like saying bad things? What else? Okay, one more.
Calling people names.
Calling people names. That's right. And so what happens is we get filled with all these dirty things, and it gets to the point where then we just have to let them all out, right? Or maybe you get really, really mad, and you just blurt out something that's not very right. That's not right. Sometimes you do that to your siblings. I've done that, especially to my siblings. Yeah, I do that all the time. But anyway, and so it fills us up. But when we get filled up with good things, what is that? What are some good things that we get filled with?
Helping people up.
Helping people up. What else? Saying nice things. Yes. Lily said that with hesitation. What else? There's a lot of things. Helping others, praying, worshiping, coming to church, doing nice things. And so that's what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to be filled with good things, not dirty water, bad things. Okay? So remember that about that. The next time you see a sugar, whatever, scrub daddy in a sponge, think about you want to be filled with good things. All right, let's pray. You see one of these every Sunday night? Okay, good. I'm glad. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Help us be filled with good things. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Oh, don't our children just fill us with so much joy? Isn't it wonderful to see them grow and respond and show their own uniqueness? It is a blessing to be able to witness that. And I want to direct your attention to the inside of our bulletin, where it will list different prayer concerns. We do want to let you know that sadly, Miles King passed away this past Friday. And we want to be in prayer for his wife, Dorothy, and the rest of their family. We don't yet have a day or time of their service, but we will let the congregation know when we have that information. And now let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, there are times when it's hard to find the words to say as we see so much pain and hurt around our world. We see loneliness and suffering. We see despair and deep poverty. And we oftentimes feel overwhelmed, wondering, what can we do? How can we help? And of course, one of the first things we do that's good is that we come to you in prayer. And by coming to you in prayer, it's a statement of our faith that we believe in the goodness and the love that you pour out into this world. And it's a statement of faith that you are alive and well among us and listening. And when we pray for things to change in our world. We pray for you to act. We pray for you to empower us to act. And oh God, we need your strength more than ever. We need your strength to walk with faith in our world, offering hope and healing. And Lord, may you shine upon us a vision of where you want this world to go to. A world of love, a world of compassion, a world of equality. A world where brother and sister unites and strengthens their bonds. Oh God, we put our trust in you and you alone. May we be ready to move into action to transform your world. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering, let us be reminded that God wants to transform us into people that are generous and people that know in their hearts that wealth and material will fade away. The only things that are eternal are what God makes eternal. His love and his grace for us is what we stand upon. Amen.
Oh,
Amen and amen. Beautiful. What a blessing for us to continue in worship and to hear the sweet music that enters our hearts, for it to transform us and to move us into action. And we now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Jim went to school with me all of my years from elementary on through high school. And there was one thing that really defined Jim, and that was that you didn't really want to be around him. You didn't want to be around him because his attitude was just awful. It was almost as if every single morning he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and he wanted everyone to know about it. Whether it was a student, a teacher, anyone, didn't matter, he would always have a bad attitude. He would always treat them with disrespect, as if they were meaningless or nothing. Fast forward after high school, a couple years, I get a friend request from him on Facebook. And something had changed about Jim. First of all, he came across as very educated. He was eloquent in how he spoke and wrote. Also, he seemed to convey a peace, a maturity, a wisdom in whatever he would write on Facebook. So something had fundamentally transformed in Jim's life that led him to that change from having a bad attitude and just really taking it out on everyone to trying to uplift and offer wisdom. How incredible. Now, when I was an angsty teen many years ago, I remember when my parents would give me a task for me to do around the house or the yard. And one of the ones I hated most of all was having to pick up all of the sticks in my backyard. In my backyard are two beautiful sycamore trees, and I love them. But the bad thing about sycamore trees is that they litter everything. Not only leaves, but a plethora of sticks in a variety of sizes. And it would be my task to take a wheelbarrow and take all of the sticks and put them in and go back and find that there are really even smaller ones that I missed and had to go back. Usually when I did this task, I did it grumbling. I did it with frustration. I did it with resentment because I hated it. And that usually cost me time because I would be more pronounced in my actions and picking up the sticks. I just didn't do the task my parents had asked me. However, my mother pointed out to me one day that I really enjoyed doing service to other people's homes. Our youth group had mission opportunities where we would go to people's yards and help them. Boy, I loved that. I loved helping others, but when it came to my own family, there was a problem. And to me, as I've thought back to that, it's kind of two-faced in how I approached my faith. And the attitude I approached that task at home was not going to make me a better Christian, was not going to make anything better about my life other than give me more stress and heartache. Our attitudes are what everyone sees and judges. The first, of course, is our appearance. And then it's our attitude, how we respond, how we act, how we speak of others, how we speak of ourselves makes a huge difference with how people view who we are and if we're worthy of being around. One of the things I despise is cynicism. I cannot stand people that are just perpetually negative all the time and don't provide any solution to the problem, or just want to moan and complain, never seeing any positive, always going to the negative, and usually those particular people love doing that. And they love getting to spread that cynicism out, kind of like a virus that just grows and gets worse. Christ wants our attitudes to be transformed. Christ wants us to ditch the cynicism and take on an attitude of hope, of healing, of what our true faith in Christ should show within our hearts. How do we do that, though? How do we fundamentally transform how we respond and speak and act? I think it's helpful if we go back to the early church and take for the example of the church of Philippi, one of the Christian communities that Paul celebrated above many others. Paul loved this church, thought very highly of this church and all that it had done for Jesus Christ. And think for a second what it must have been like to be a Christian in the early church and all that you are facing. It would be quite easy, you would think, to be cynical quickly. It'd be very easy to have a lot of doubts and a lot of just having the weight of what you're tasked to do weigh you down and burden you and make you negative. But the Christians in the early church did not have that luxury. The state wanted to persecute, oppress, and kill them. The vast majority of people around them, either didn't care about them or wanted them gone too. And then they have to deal with their own power struggles and divisions with their own Christian community that we often find in our own church today. If you've ever been in a church, that tends to happen. And all of those things can pile up and build upon one's heart and mind and change the attitude. But those early Christians could not allow that to really take dominance. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. They took the faith of Jesus Christ seriously. They knew that the task ahead of them was complicated and difficult. But if they trusted God, God was there to lead them through their path. Sometimes the steps of doing what's right are more complicated, more difficult, and more risky, like taking in refugees that have no place to go, are filled with violence and heartache, and wander. And we think of many other problems in our world, the magnitude of which we feel is so enormous. How could we approach that? But if we have the true attitude and desire and faith that God has given us, to know that God will be there to push us through those experiences and those moments and those hardships, how else? What else could block us? The early Christians had to focus and embrace Christ's attitude as their own. You know, Christ, in an interesting way, approached people as they needed to be approached. So as the Pharisees and the Sadducees would question and try to trap Jesus, Jesus would challenge them. Jesus would throw a kink into their questioning and their line of thought so that their minds that were more focused on the biblical and the laws would be able to maybe wrap around whatever Christ is trying to share. And then many times, Christ would reward the faith and the attitude of people he would meet with problems, the blind or the sick or the demon-possessed. Family members would go, friends would go and seek that Jesus would care, and Jesus would respond to what? Their faith. And that faith produces an attitude that Philippians describes as rejoicing, having peace, where forgiveness comes more easily, where we want to offer grace and mercy and love. Think about where you are right now. How is your attitude? Are you bitter? Are you sad? Stress and frustrations often exacerbate our attitude. And how we get through our attitude is with the joy that pierces through. And you may be going, well, I'm not experiencing joy in my life right now. I just lost a loved one. I just heard devastating news. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. But sometimes we very much confuse happiness and joy. Happiness comes with different moments that make us happy. Joy is an attitude. Joy is the acknowledgement that you know that God is present within your heart. Joy is an acknowledgement that knowing that God is bigger. Joy is an acknowledgement that God is wanting to work with you to bring in peace and love in the world. Joy is acknowledging and expressing as an attitude in your new way of living as a Christian. Paul experienced this joy when he encountered Jesus. That is what propelled him to be so passionate and active. He maintained that joy of the Lord, knowing that everything would be all right because Christ is risen. Francis of Assisi, many of you may know him, rejected all of his wealth and all of his power, gave it all away to serve. To serve out of a sense of joy. And we often just attribute joy to Francis of Assisi as he would minister not only to humans, but to animals. And then as we think of joy, I think specifically today of the joy that we have felt by knowing Miles King, if you had the opportunity to know him. He was a gentle man. He expressed joy deep in wisdom and had sincere and deep faith in God. So, brothers and sisters, joy is the attitude that allows us to do the actions Christ needs us to do in the world, to offer love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness and all of the wonderful things that God wants us to be to people, because we are Christ's hands and feet. So how are you going to take in that joy in yourself? How are you going to let it sit and live within your heart as an attitude that shapes your everyday life? Joy is something that the Psalms sang about and spoke about. Joy is when we know God is near us. And we are to take that nearness of God and share it with others so that they too feel near and close to God. May we all do that and be the true hands and feet of Jesus Christ to all people in this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing together our closing song, Remember. There are those that would like to come forward for a time of prayer. If you'd like to reaffirm your faith, join the life of our church, or for the first time, maybe commit in faith to Jesus Christ, we welcome you forward at this time.
I remember the empty.
May the grace of God, the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.